Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm on SFA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, join us by the talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And you'll find us. This reminder also that comes with the phone calls. There are other phone numbers you can call on TalkShoe, and that means even outside of the U.S. And of course, I co-broadcast over on the Twitch.tv website. Just go to Twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you'll find us there. And that's where you will find the most involved chat room, because TalkShoe lately has been like nothingville when it comes to the chat room. So the chat room is over on Twitch, but I still broadcast over on TalkShoe because of there's certain features that are currently not available other ways. Well, not as easy anyway. So, and of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter. The podcast account there, of course, is also sfuoncall. And if you want to follow my personal account, that's Paul France, PaulFranz. Just a reminder that I'm passionate about being an O's fan, a Catholic, and I love all kinds of tech. And you might even see a few posts from me if I get ticked off enough, like I did earlier today. It was just one post, but you know, I couldn't take it anymore. And of course, my other account, which is my Franz Games account, which if you want to, you can follow that and follow on what's happening in Starfleet Warlord and what's happening in SFB Online. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Just quick news from AB this week. Not much going on there because Gene, their marketing person, has been, well, went to visit her mother before her mother died. Her mother did die. Just a quick update on that. Fortunately, she was able to hold on until Gene got there. And after, they had their visit, then she let go of, sloughed off the coils of this life and went on to the eternal one. And just a reminder, if you could have Jean and her family in your prayers, your thoughts, that would be fantastic. I know she could use that. So that's about it for SFB news. Now, of course, we have the Sapphire Star Tournament. The number 9, which I was involved in this past tense now, because I got knocked out by the Wind Oxbox, and you will be hearing about that tonight. You'll be hearing about my loss to it. Hopefully, I can give you, on those people who listen to the podcast, that you can get a good enough feeling of what went wrong. To say the very least, I had a very good opponent. Even though I had a very good opponent, he also made mistakes, and we found out later on what those mistakes were. And just hold on, and you'll get to hear them too. But the final, as he did not want to do, which is the Wind Black Shark versus the Wind Oxbox. So it's going to be an interesting game, especially because, I think they both... Okay, you got the Winox box with 5 drone racks. You got the Black Shark. He's got it all set up with 3 drone racks. So it's going to be a very drone-heavy game, to say the very least. I think the Oxbox has probably the better chance in this. But, of course, the Black Shark can beat him, with the 4 disruptors. The 6 phaser ones, a good array of... phasers with multiple directions, they got the phaser 3s that are can very well protect the phaser ones, which is really, really great. And so I think it's gonna be a really good game. There's been no announcement about when it's going to be played, so I can't tell you anything more there. When it comes to the client, not much happening there. I still have to work on that some more. I was actually worked on a little bit on trying to integrating the new server into the client, and that's going to take a little bit of time because of the original network. The original interface was designed for IRC, and this is not IRC. It's close to it. It's kind of a light form in my mind, and it's HTTP based, so it's going to be a little bit different. I'm sure some people or some of the developers out there are screaming, WebSockets, use WebSockets. And it's like, no. I want this to be very, very flexible. And Lord knows, I think, but I got it. It's going to be quite good. And actually, the server I wrote up is really simplistic, which I think will really be a great benefit. There's some things I have not done with the server that I know I need to do, and I know I need to rewrite it again, because Lord knows, as any developer will tell you, the first time is just working out the details of it. You have to write it again to get it right, and I will do that after I get the client portion set up, so that works. And I'll probably need, I know there's some additional things I have to do when it comes to that. What else? I apologize. Oh, one thing, I have not added an official link to it, and I still need to look, just double check on it, which is, of course, well, you don't know, but of course, the Netkill standings page, which I worked on quite a few weeks ago now. I've not actually verified how it works, you know, to make sure that everything's correct. And of course, then there is the sorting of it. I'm not quite sure I've got it right. I want to I have to contact Robert Shermer again to make sure that I've got everything correct. And I'm trying to work out the details and try to get kind of a knowledge transfer session with him, you know, knowledge transfer of how things work, because there's certain details which were not fully fleshed out, you know, that he knows, and that they weren't actually detailed in the documentation which he did on the website. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it means I'm all Paul Friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. And of course, you got all those lovely people in the chat room. I'm sure Chris is going to be there, and Iggy's going to be there, and I know Dave's going to be there, so we'll just, I will wait and see if they show up. But I know I'm running a tiny bit late than I usually am, but not awful as I have done in some of the past episodes. I apologize for those people who actually listen, you know, come and actually want to join me. And just let you know, I will have a podcast on the 23rd next week, and on also on the 30th the week after that. So there will be no pause in the schedule for the holidays. I see no reason for it. The only time I don't do a podcast is, well, one, if I have something else going on in real life. And number two, hey, Mike, Chargers, come on, what the heck? Chargers only beating the Chiefs 14-10. Crazy. That's number one. Number two is if there's a holiday. Of course, there could be a third one, which is has not happened lately, which is where I've gone to a baseball game. If there's opportunity, trust me, if in the upcoming year, if the Orioles are playing and there's a doubleheader that's on a Thursday, you will see me. I will be gone. So, yes, I am an O's fan. And I forgot to do that, so I'm just going to switch back for this just for the moment, because there's no reason to be watching all of my wonderful recordings. stuff at the moment. But just fine. You'll obviously you're gonna see that, and it doesn't matter that much. Not exactly the best podcast in the world, but I do my best. I'm here every week. I've been doing this for many years. I think I forget this upcoming to be my 12th year or something longer. I forget. It's been. Oh, awesome, Dave. Dave's saying he's going to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra tomorrow, which is, they come into the Pennsylvania area around this time of year, every single year, and it's awesome. Yeah, oh yeah, Mike. There's been a few times when there've been a double header during the day, during the week, and I've actually taken the day off of work, and I've spent the whole day just watching baseball. That to me is heaven. Just being at the ballpark all day long, watching the game, you know. No, the funny part is one thing I like to do. I'm not sure if I have the ability to do, which I'd love to be a ump. Now the tough part about being ump. Is not the umpiring. I don't think that'd be the tough part, though. Obviously, that's difficult because I've done some judging in my day when it comes to Starfleet battles, and I know that's not an easy task. Being a judge is not an easy task at all. I'm not saying it is, but I think the most difficult part for me would be the rules. You know, the rules actually are not that hard. It's just remembering all of those finer details of the rules. You know, this is not like Starfleet battles where you can say, stop, you know, everyone freeze. Don't go anywhere. I got to look up the rules. No, you can't do that in umpiring. Amen, Dave. Amen. Oh, just to those who are not watching, but are just listening. Dave said, the umpire isn't always right, but he's never wrong. And that is true. And that's why you got to hand it to the umpires that in major league games, they go, I screwed up. You know, they admit it, that they screwed up and they missed the call, you know. And I got greatly respect that. Now, if I was going to be an umpire, umpire I want to be is for the high schools. Just because in my mind, the high school level, that's where it's pure unadulterated fun. The kids know the rules. And more importantly, they've got the skills down enough so it can also be a decent game. I've never actually read up on the rules for junior leagues. I don't think you have a question. I answered the question in email, which is about I will at some point, and I promise this in the upcoming year, it might be next week, might be the week after that for all I know, and that is, yes, I will be doing an episode on the history of the SFB Online client, which is interesting. Some of it is going to be, I'm going to be doing from memory, which given my age, I'm not that old, I'm only 55. I might have forgotten certain things, but I will definitely, SFB Online completely. Yeah, that's a little larger of a thing. Actually, I think I talked about that in the past. Some of the history of SFB Online. But I will be happy to talk about SFB Online and the history behind it and some of the trials and tribulations of SFB Online itself. In the meantime, this episode, I want to finish off, well, as I was finished off, my Sapphire 9 round 3 game, and as I told people in the last week, which is the reason why I was a round 3 game and not a round 2 game is that Andrew withdrew from the tournament, but, and more importantly, and this was the gotcha, which is Steve Petrick accepted it. Because I didn't see him say, okay, no, we're gonna have to get a replacement for Andrew because Andrew withdrew and said, he won. And I didn't see Steve Petrick say, no, we have to have get a replacement player. And I didn't see any squawks from him. I would have been happy to have a replacement player. Mike, I'm glad that you were able to find it. And Lord knows, I think my Google Foo is pretty, not my Google Foo, but my ranking is pretty good for it. But anyhow, let me continue on to the death note of my game. This is part two of Andromeda versus Crash and Burn, and Crash and Burned me. So fun. Okay, let's switch this so that you actually can see the video. So this is the very end of turn four. Just a quick recap on the last turn. I had come around here. He caught me at range two. He fired close range and gotten some internals. No internals on me, but he filled up my panels. So then I was, I sideslipped into him. I took the drones on my front panels. So my front panels got like 36 points of energy and degradation together. I forget exactly the split on that. And on the rears, I was filled up almost completely filled up into the 4 points of energy. Now, before the turn ended, I did do a panel dump. So I changed from reinforced to standard levels. So anything that was in the back panels that was above the standard line, that went directly into the batteries because 36 points of energy plus degradation, energy and together energy and degradation, so i.e. standard level was filled in the front panels. So anything that was in the reinforcement range of the rear panels went directly into the batteries when I went from reinforced down back to standard. And at that point, it's like I took the chance because he still hadn't fired. I don't think he had fired his rear extended phaser, phaser 3. I was hoping he wouldn't fire it and go, I'm going to fire and hope to get at least 1 point of energy, and get an internal. I went, I'll take the chance. The option mounts were Hellbore, Phaser G, Disruptor on the right side, Drone Rack on the left side. Just a reminder for those of you who are, this is the first time that you've, a reminder of what we had, because I told it last week, which is, I was supposed to go through both round two and round three against basically the same mix between the two. Now, the question in my mind, if I would have played Andrews, I'm not sure whether I would have, if he would have played the same way the Crash played. Crash and Burn played a very good game. And as I pointed out last week, he played a very smart game in that he tracked my energy usage very, very closely. And the only thing that saved my bacon was that I had, excuse me, I still got to install the latest updates for that. a fully charged TR beams. Now, the problem with that is that I couldn't fire my TR beams. And the reason, and even, here's the thing. Even if I would have gotten them in ARC, because I never got them in ARC. Well, in ARC, to my satisfaction, my biggest concern at that point was that I was low in batteries at that moment in time. Actually, let me see. Can we... okay, we'll start the EA and I should be able to go like here. Okay, now, if you noticed at the beginning of this turn, of turn four, I had basically 5.667, so 5 2/3 energy in my batteries. So that's enough at that point to bring my panels up to overload energy. With a little extra battery power. Now, I have to save those 3 points of energy because I need to be able to bring it up to reinforced levels. Otherwise, I'm dead. So, at that point, so, you know, but I had 2 fully overloaded, which means I had 6 points of energy in each tier heavy. So that means I was able to use 6 points of power for anti-tractor or tractor work, either one. It doesn't have to be fired as a TR beam, as a weapon, which is, as I said, that's one of those things that saved my bacon, was that I had TR beams. If I wouldn't have TR beams, I would have had to have energy in my batteries or energy somewhere allocated to fight the tractor. And that's one of those things that the Win Aux box has lots of power. So let's continue on. Okay, I'm doing energy allocation. Now, as you notice, as part of that energy allocation, I'm just going to pause here for a moment, is that the displacement device, I got the second turn, so I'm good for the next. That's the one thing that I didn't have my turn four, did not have my, oh yeah, Chris. And the only reason I was hard to track is because I was lowered, charged my TR beams. Now this is what the Andromeda looked like at the end of the turn, complete end of turn with end of turn activities. Oh, Dave, yes, they do. But here's the thing. This is the crate. The crate, the original crate, had 6 batteries. That's 30 points of power. So in that case, it would have plenty of power. But they trimmed it down to 15 points of battery power. And if you notice also, I have an issue with power generation. I've got 24 plus 2 is 26 plus 2 is 28. So I got a total 28 power. So... the yellow boxes down the bottom here, those represent energy in the panels. The red, that's the degradation to the panels themselves. So, given the limited power generation that they tweaked it down there initially, thinking, oh, that'll solve the problem. No, it's not the power generation. It's the batteries. So then they left it decreased power, but the batteries, they also decreased, which is what they should have done to begin with. So I, as I said, I was down to like 6 points of energy because I was running around, I was not running around like a nut. I was trying to be conservative. But at the same time, I needed to go between like 21 and 28. I needed to go fast enough to avoid the drones. And in some cases, when I'm going for my battle pass, I want to be the faster speed so that I get to decide. I can find out what the wind was doing. And then at that point, react to what he's doing. Yes, Chris, that's right. Actually, Phaser G, Hellbore, Disruptor drone. B is a drone, D is a Disruptor. And you got him, I think you got him backwards, what he had. Because I could have sworn it was, no, that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. The Disruptor was on the right side, which is the D option mount. Yeah, B is a drone rack, because you can't get an A drone rack in the tournament play, that is. Of course, why would you ever want to? There's no reason. You want the six spaces of drones. Okay. Yeah, I was counting this up. You see, I thought there was something issue here, and that was me being a dummy. Poo-poo head. Because I did 30 points of damage, he did 16 points of reinforcement, and so he had 16 points left over in the shield. I was like, that doesn't make sense. The problem is the 16 and 16 goofed me up. No, I don't. Iggy, I don't think you can have a C-Rack. I think that'd be kind of cool, because you can launch it twice a turn. That'd be the only reason you'd want a C-Rack. Now, as you see, at the beginning of this turn, I've got 11 points of energy. And then what I'm doing here with reserve power and so forth, with the Andromedan, and you want to do this with most ships as it stands. If you can, the problem is, you know, most ships don't have the batteries that Andromeda has. And that is the reserve power. You want to use up, you want to take what you've got for the reserve for warp power, subtract out how much you used in warp power, and then put that in as reserve warp, because that you want to have the maximum amount of reserve warp as possible. That's what you want into your batteries. That's one thing. That's one question I never ask, and I don't think it's ever been answered. I know logically what the answer is, but the logical doesn't mean anything. Yeah, C-Rack and Zinni. And then the Zinni in the tournament play doesn't have a C-Rack. They have just B-Racks. They have four B-Racks, in which case it makes a lot of sense. Trust me. You want, in tournament play, you want as much drones as possible, because you get no reloads. There are no reloads in tournament play. Just a reminder. Okay, let's get back to here. Now, obviously, I'm flying at a very high rate of speed here. I forgot what I was looking up. Right, I know what it was. I think it was, I was trying to remember about, I know that PA panels and the Andromeda itself, when it comes to energy, they deal with things differently. And in this case, it was, I want to know if, I know what it was. It was for if I, I forget what it was. But anyway, okay, I start with 28, he starts 17. The whole idea here for me is just to get a good distance. And also, why I wanted to go so fast was actually I did want to drain my batteries, because I want to free up as much energy as possible. In this case, the plan was to drop the front panels and try to get I think I calculated right. So all of the front panels could be dropped and the energy go into the rear panels and enough energy. And I had a large enough battery so I could actually get the energy out of the front panels and the rest of it into the batteries. Yep. I'll double checking the number. Because there's six available in the back. And pause this for a moment. That's 12 plus 5 is 17, 20. So 20 minus 6 is 14. So I can do a panel dump. But the one thing I've got to do, and I got to be very careful about, is that I got to first drain my, I have to do something to drain my batteries. Now, as you will find out, I did the one and only thing I could do. Okay, should we? I think it was right around. Yeah, here it is. Fire decision. Now, I happen to have a leftover displacement device information shit that I used to fire three of my phaser twos at. The idea was that you're allowed to fire your phasers at any old rock and basically use them during the turn and fire at any old rock in space. That's allowed. Just like traction, you can tractor any old rock in space, but Andromeda can only use one point of energy, period, that way. And I don't have a tractor beam. So the idea there was just to... Yeah, I mentioned this and then I realized I was being a dummy. So I fired two phasers at him, hoping to do some kind of damage because I needed to fire him anyway. And three of them I fired at some rock in space. And during that time, I fired directly out of my reserve power, so I was able to drain out the energy. The next impulse, I then was able to, you'll get to see it, on impulse 5.8, I then dropped my front panels. This is where I was actually looking up the reserve power, because I wanted to make sure I was doing this right and didn't have to wait for an additional impulse, because it's possible that I could only fire last impulse and then charge them the next impulse and then, but no, I can actually fire them directly from reserve power. So, which is great. So I didn't have to wait. So here I'm going to go to drop my front panels. And I dropped my front panels. Now I've drawn 6 points of energy into my rear panels and 14 points of energy into my batteries. This is one of the few times I wanted to run like a bat out of hell so that I could drain my batteries. There's one other thing I could have done, but I really didn't want to do it, which is one thing you can do. If you definitely makes sense for an Andromeda, it doesn't make sense for anybody else, at least in this scenario, which is I could have decreased my energy output. Instead of producing 24 points of energy, I could have produced 20 points of energy. I toned down the actual, I could turn down how much energy output energy that my ship actually produces, but that affects the whole turn. And then I prefer to use my speed to get some range and possibly set up for a better battle pass the next turn. So I figured that was the way to go. Okay, we're here on 5.15. He's still chasing me. He's currently at range 14. And I'm right now approaching the bottom of the board. He's approaching the middle of the board at this moment. So I'm like the middle of the bottom of the board, which is 21.28, and he's at 14.18. That's where he is currently. So obviously he's on my rear panel, so I'm fine. And okay. And at that point, what I did was I needed to use a little more battery power. So what I did was, did I do it or didn't I do it? No, I didn't do it. I was thinking about increasing my speed to speed 30 to drain some more energy, which is, that's where it screwed me up. And then he fired phasers at me and got 3 points of energy into my panels, in which case I had to, do 3 points of energy to reinforce the panels, which is good and bad, good in my mind because in this case, I wanted to drain batteries. And also the reason why when you're flying against the Andromedans, why you do that is that you want to actually create degradation within the panels themselves. Okay. And this is where actually I changed my speed to speed 30. Why I did that mainly was for one main reason there, which was I wanted to get it so that why did I do that? I wanted to wait until later in the turn just because of I wanted him to think that it was pre-allocated instead of using reserve power. No. Actually, at this point, I'm not sure why that matters because when it comes to energy allocation, it's the same. I mean, the amount of energy used. This is one of those times in the game that I'm not sure if I did the right thing. I turned in mainly because of I wanted to be able to do a battle pass soon. Because the problem with the Andromedan is on a clock. Less of a clock this game than it was in previous games because of he never fired at me until turn four. So I was like, wait a minute, why aren't you firing at me? Still haven't figured that one out. I didn't talk to him afterwards about why didn't he fire until range four. Because if I was him, I would have filed way earlier than that. But it is what it is. So I'm not sure if this was a good thing to do or whether I should have kept going into the corner, because I'm thinking now that it might have been better if I actually continued into the corner and then turned around next turn. It gave me a little more running room in that case. So we're in the turn. The problem with the way I ended this turn. Okay, it does not know panel stuff, which is at this moment in time, if you noticed, I'm at reinforced levels. That means I have to pay for reinforced levels at the beginning of the turn, which if you think about it, if you know you're going to be going to reinforced levels at later on the turn, that is fine. And that is it. I think I can charge for reinforced levels and not use them immediately. I have to double check on that, whether I can do that or not. But I know one thing that definitely occurs is that if you use reserve power to go up to reinforced level and then go back, and then you go back down to standard and go back up to reinforced level again, you can't double charge for going to reinforced level from standard. You only get charged one time. That's one of those quirky things about the Andromedan energy system. So, at the end of the turn, you'll tune the batteries forward, dissipate in the rear. So, overall, my panels are looking pretty darn good. Overall. Yeah, I wanted to start slow because I wanted to have the turn mode. Because I have a 21, I have a turn mode of 4, as you can see here. Okay. And so we're going to turn six. He's going 27. I'm going 21. This was interesting in that he turned here, which was fine. I was expecting him to go down farther towards the edge and try to come up behind me. But he didn't. He went here and he turned towards, you know, towards the center of the map. So he's going direction B. And then he launches drones. And I'm going, fine, I can get around these drones. Which I could. Now, what I end up doing was, I actually, you'll come to find out, check. Yeah, this was a good battle pass in my mind because of he comes up around here. Yeah, he slowed down to 21, so we're both going 21, but of course, since I've got a better turn mode, I get to decide what's going to happen. This is where he does a bit of thinking. Because I did a midterm speed change up to speed 28 by impulse 7. He went down to a speed of 21. So I've got the overall the initiative. So I'm trying to get this time this right to see how it is. And you'll find out exactly what I do. This is where I'm trying to figure out, okay, how many times does the drones move? How many times do I move? And have it so it times it so that I can go right next to the drones without having the drones actually hit me. You know, I turn up towards the middle, you know, up. So I'm going direction A. He's going direction B. So I'm coming in behind him at this moment in time. And right now, the drones themselves are right behind me. They're range one. Yeah, this is... Right. This is where what I do is I side slip in so that because the drones don't move on impulse 6.11 so that I can actually get to range five on his rear shields. So I figured that's gonna be a good, you know, a good arrangement to do, which is hit him there. But you know, I wait. I try to be patient, and I wait for. Now range four. He's thinking. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure this. Okay. This is where he does something which I. Okay. Let's back up here for a moment. I got nervous at this moment in time because we're at impulse 6.12, and he's been showing me his rear shield for a while. So I got nervous because I was trying to avoid the whole hit the brick again scenarios, which was, you know, annoying as heck. So I started thinking, hey, maybe he did something crazy. Because originally I thought, no, He's got shield number 2 reinforced. And then I got to thinking, because he kept on showing me his rear shield. I went, no, he must have his rear shield reinforced. He thinks he's trying to get me to fire his rear shield and have me hit his brick. And, you know, so I go, okay, I'm not gonna fire at his rear shield, which is a strange thing to think about. But that's what I was thinking of. Now, he does something which was not, it was definitely totally and utterly unexpected. He turns into me. Now, before I move, because this is in post now 6.13, right now we're at range 3. I am 3 hexes off his shield number 2. Not directly on the oblique. I'm 1 hex off towards the front of his ship. Towards the shield number 1. So, given that, I went, okay. After he turned in, I had to think about it. See, what do I want to do? Because I have multiple scenarios I can do here. Number 1. Is I could go directly ahead. Range 2. And I forget if I look to see if he moves or not. I don't think he moves on impulse 14, which means I get to move first. I'll hit shield number 1. The other possibility is to sidestep out. And I've got the shield number 1, range 3, so I'm not going to be taking as much damage from him. Or I can sidestep in and go directly on the oblique, directly on shield number 2. The good thing about that is that I can fire all my phasers at him, all 6 phaser 2s, and my TR beams, you know, at the best range when it comes to TR beams. And probably quite a bit of damage to him. Now, the question is, does he have his brick on shield number 2? Because I figured if he doesn't have it on, since he turned in, he probably doesn't have his shield number 3 reinforced. That means most probably he's got shield number 2 reinforced. So given that he's got shield number 2 reinforced, I went, fine. I'm going to avoid shield number 2. So at this moment in time, I'm watching what I actually did. If I recall correctly, I sideslip out to range 3. In fact, I feel pretty confident that's exactly what I do. And it took me a while of thinking. Okay, let me just. Yep, there. So I sidestep out to range 3. The drones are right now off my shield number 5, even though I don't have shields, but that gives you, and that tells you where they're located. I decide that I'm going to displace off my shield number 4 and basically displace behind him and then run away. And give a decent amount of room between him and me and have it so that he doesn't get a good shot at me. Announce it and I add the DizDev information counter onto the board. Then I'm going to fire. Basically, it's a full alpha with four phaser twos and two TR heavies at him. I was just checking to see what is, and he doesn't fire. I expected him to fire. So I fire, I get a total of 51 points of damage against, you know, in damage from my weapons. Now, for those watching the video, he said you must have clicked the extra time, which is correct, you know, because I came up with a total of 55 instead of 51. But and for those of you, this is what the wind looked afterwards. I completely blew down his shield number one. Most of his hull was gone. Two of his cargo, one left warp is gone. I killed two of his phaser threes, two of the three phaser threes that he has on the ship, and one of the phaser ones, and also a drone rack. So he's now down to only four drone racks instead of five. So it's like, okay, cool. I limit that. I roll the displacement device, and yes, I succeed. Note that I displaced twice in this game. Both times I succeeded. In either time I displaced, if I would have not been successful, I think I still could have gotten my butt out of it. Though I think what would happen on the following turns would have happened on turn some number six if I would have failed. Okay. And at this point, I'm now off his shield number three, close to that the shield two and three, that shield border right there. And I'm at range eight. And I run away straight as an arrow. And I allow myself to go from speed 28 down to speed 21. I could have used my batteries to boost me up to speed 28 the whole time, but I decided that it wasn't worth it, that I could keep my, I could keep my distance on the drones. So I was good. And I just keep going. And then what he does is he turns around. I'm just going to flip this a little bit. Actually, he's falling behind me. Sorry. I keep going. I do a little end of turn removal of energy from my rear panels. Again, he did not fire at me. Why at range three he didn't fire at me, I do not know. It's still to this day I'm wondering about it. Especially because of what you'll find out later is really weird. Okay. So first turn of everything. And actually, can go back just a tiny bit there. Which is, but I also have, I'm down back down to standard levels. So I'm good there. So I think it's a flat 21, if I recall correctly. And starting up in of turn seven. So I'm going towards I'm in the middle of the map towards the left hand side. Hex 0617. So I'm getting towards the border of the map. He's following me. He's speed 13 now. Yeah, he's flying. He's going speed 31. He's flying. He's trying to catch up to me. Now, this is where I got stupid. Was it this turn? I think it's this turn. Yeah. Because what I did something smart in that I wanted to get rid of the drones so I didn't have to worry about the drones and when I needed to turn. And this was a perfect opportunity. So the drones are coming at me, all four of the drones. Or five of the drones. I think it's, yeah, five at this point. They're at, I'm at 06:14. I placed a T-bomb at 08:13. And because the drones are at 11:14. What that means is that I have it so that I go straight up, they come straight in, and they'll run not quite over the T-bomb, but they will set off the T-bomb. So I got it so that he can't avoid them. He cannot avoid the T-bomb. So I'm going to get rid of all the drones in one fell swoop. Now, the one thing I really, really, really don't like about you of actually using the transporters, it messes up energy consumption completely. It's just, it's awful overall trying to try and manage energy. So it goes and we continue on from early in turn seven. Oh, come on. Sorry. VLC was just flaking on me. Okay, right there. This is impulse 7:13. And I'm able to kill the drones. And I keep going straight up. Now, this is where I made a big, big boo-boo in my mind. Okay, keep going. Okay. I turn. This was my mistake. At that point, after I destroy the drones, I still got... I'm at 05:11. I've got 11 hexes before I run out of room. And actually less than, let's say just for giggles, let's say 9 hexes before I run out of room and I have to turn. I didn't take those 9 hexes. I should have taken those 9 hexes. What do I do instead? I turn in early. This was a huge mistake. And you'll find out why in just a little bit. So I turn in. He's still flying at me. And we're still middle of the turn. We're 7:19. He's at range 9. And he's still closing. He still has all his weapons charged and ready to rock. So I'm running. Bum, bum, bum. And he's still closing. Because I'm going to speed 21. He's going to speed 20. He's going 31. Took a bit of time thinking. I still got plenty of room in my panels. He's got to range 6 on 7:22. So he's still closing. At 6:23. This is, again, I think, the next dumbest mistake. The one that cost me the battle at this moment in time. Is, what do? I turn into him. I know what I was trying to do. I was trying to get it so that at the beginning of the turn, or even later in this turn, I could get it so his shield number 1 is facing me and I could fire down his shield. But if I would have done, I would have been smart about it and kept on going straight up. sooner or later, he's got to turn. He's got to turn up. At some point, he's got to turn towards me. So what I do, I turn into him. So now, at this moment in time, I'm 5-4 hexes off his shield number 2. This is, how dumb can you be? This was the second mistake. And then was more costly than the first. And so if you continue on here, okay, let's continue to play. He launches, of course, 4 more drones, which is fine at this moment in time. Those who are listening to the game or watching the game want to know what the score is. It's Chargers 14, Chiefs 13, and it's late in the third quarter. Close game. Wow. So now I've got to try. I'm trying my best to keep as much range as possible after I did something eternally stupid. And turned in towards him. I should have never done that. So that allows him to get closer and closer and closer. I no longer am able to keep range. Now I increased my speed to speed 28. The whole idea there was to try to get a little more range and possibly could turn around in time. In my mind, actually, the one thing I could have done, which might seem eternally stupid, but I think after I did those two stupid moves, yeah, it would be stupid, but I think it would have given me a much better chance, which was I should have headed back. I should have headed back directly towards him. Because at this moment in time, he's turned in. He's committed. So I can get to his shield number 1, and I possibly, if I plan it right, or I might be able to actually get it so that I hit him this turn and hit him in the beginning of next turn. Now, so we continue on. So he's chasing me. I increased my speed from speed 21 to speed 28. Trying to maintain distance from him, thinking that I can possibly do that. So we keep going. Okay. This is where it starts to hurt. Go back. Bah, 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 and here it is. Let's see if it. I want to see if I can. I'm going to do this. Just playback, let's make it slower. Okay. Now, actually, I think this might be good enough here. Oh, perfect. Right there. Let's pause it. I had it. I'm sorry. It showed exactly what it was doing. So let's go here. Okay. Forget it. I'll tell you what happens. He does something. He fires his Hellbore. He disruptor. This is all 3 hexes off my rear panels. Fires his overloaded Hellbore. Fires overloaded disruptors. Fires his 3 phaser 1s and his 4 phaser 3s. 5 phaser 3s, because also his rear extended phaser 3 and his 4 phaser Gs. 4 phase 3s from his G-Rack at range 3. Now, range 3 is not that great of a range for phaser 3s, but he doesn't need that much. Okay, Mike. Take care, Mike. Okay. Let me pause this and speed it up again, because I was playing it four times faster. And that's actually, okay, so This is where it's going to freaking hurt. Actually, this is the end of the game pretty much right here. Okay. There's this announcement of everything he's firing. His phaser ones, he hits with three ones at range three. So it's like an incredible amount of damage from that. Oh, sorry, his disruptor is standard, so he got 4 points of damage from that. So he does, okay, and then an additional two from his phasers. So that's 24 points of damage from the phasers and disruptor. So that's 24 points of damage against my rear panel, which is not looking that great comparatively speaking to the front panels. And then he rolls his hellbore first, which hit for 22, but it was second. So he got 9 points of damage, 9 internals. No, he didn't get anything. This is where he got the 9. Don't mind me. I forgot how to use my home interface. Right there. And this is where, at this point, he blows away all my hull, all my cargo, and one of my TR beams. And this is near the end. Okay, so we're getting close to the end of the game now. Yeah, I was checking on things. I forget what he does now, because I think he's fired all his... Yeah. I'm just going to go here, and this is where... I'm getting behind him on impulse 29. He's going 30. I'm going 31. I'm going 28. I'm extending the range out to range 4, which is good. I turn directly down so that I can try to extend the range as much as possible on impulse 29. And then so, at the end of turn 7, I'm at range 6 at the end of turn 7 with some internals. At this point, I'm trying to recharge Drop my front panels. The idea being there is that I needed to get the energy out of my front panels. Leaving the battery so I can continue on the fight. Yeah, I still was still reinforced. Okay. And the turn, I've got out to range 7. forget what I'm doing here. I think I blast away the drones is what I do. Yeah. Fire at least one of the drones. Execute. And I think I kill 3 out of 4. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I kill 3 out of 4. So down the one drone face, you know, behind me. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Do my pal stuff. At the end of the turn, and then do everything to charge. Here. Got one of my TR heavies is ready to go, so is my displacement device. So I'm ready for a minor attack, and unfortunately this is what happens. Okay, range 8. He fires a disruptor, overload disruptor, and 3 phaser 1s at range 8. Does 10 points of damage. Total of 16 points of damage at that range. Recap, let's make sure. Here's the problem. I've got 9. Okay, I got a total of 7 boxes left. So that means I'm going to get 9 internals from this. Unfortunately, those 9 internals are really freaking bad internals. My last tier of heavy, one of my panels, PA panels, gets knocked out, and so is that. So, at that point, all my batteries are gone. See, all my batteries are gone. Cargo is gone. TRs are gone. Impulse is gone. And I got one panel. Now, at that point, I conceded. But, you know, of course, he asked me, he just wanted to know what happened to the 5 points of energy that gets released when you hit a panel. And because of my front panels were still down at this moment in time, those are internals. Okay. Right. So, just, and this is what to have it to its absolute ending conclusion. Because in theory, I was supposed to roll the additional 5, because it does 5 internals. So I roll the 5. Just not meanness, or because it's like, okay, here's the 5. You know, no, that, you know, I just did it, so okay, this completeness in my mind. So in that case, you know, I lost some more warp is what I did. I lost more power, which doesn't really matter to me at this moment in time. But 2 TRs are gone. I don't think I can come back from that, and especially with the batteries gone, what am I supposed to do at this point? I've got 4 phaser 2s to fire the fight him, and for the next 2 turns I've got to run around, actually 3 turns, because next turn, at the end of this turn, this one will be repaired, I think. No, not this turn, next turn, this one, the 1 TR heavy will be repaired. So I won't have that charge for another 3 turns. In those 3 turns, I have to fight them off with no batteries. So any energy that goes in my panels, that stays in my panels. You know, at this moment in time, yes, Will he hit me with anything else worse? No, he won't. But I don't think I can come back from having two TRs and all my batteries gone at that moment. So that's when I conceded. Now, do I show it? I forget. Showed it to me, but did I record that? No, I did not record that. I apologize for that. Okay. One last thing at the end of all this. You know how last week I said, you know, he had range two on me. He could have clobbered me with his hellbores. Even if they weren't overloaded at range two, he could have clobbered me. He had a brain fart. He got so nervous that he forgot to fire the hellbore. He had it all charged the whole time. He just never... I still like to know about... Okay, earlier in the game, why didn't you fire it all? I would have been firing it every single opportunity. I would have had the opportunity to do phases. I might have held back. But the hellbore, come on, it's 3 points of energy. If you're doing standard, you can still do a lot of damage and still have a number amount of degradation. Now, the one thing that, of course, I did not ask him about, and I should have, which was earlier in the game. Earlier in the game, he didn't fire at me for four turns. Now, I think what he was trying to do, because that's what it seems like it played out to be, is that he didn't fire because he didn't want me to get any energy whatsoever. Now, that was dumb on my part. That's why, as I said last week, what I should have done with the drones that I fired at, I should have fired, instead of displacing away, I should have fired the drones, hit the drones, and kept going. That's what I should have done instead of using the displacement device. In which case, I would have gotten energy, and I would have definitely would have put a kink into the whole wins strategy too. But I think his whole strategy was to drain my batteries as much as possible, and then on turn four, that's when he attacked, because that's when he tried to tractor me, and it was only because I had my TR heavies fully charged that he failed, and because I had my TR beams. Can be used for anti-tractor work. That's the only thing that saved my bacon. And that's why I was able to continue on as far as I was able to continue on. Now, obviously, I did not anticipate some of the things that the Winox box did against the Andromedans. I thought, And definitely, as I said, I think he had a really good plan to start off the game, and he wanted to tractor me. And of course, as I said, the only thing that saved my butt was the TR heavies. Now, one of the things that I said, the question in my mind is that what he would have done if I wouldn't have displaced away from the drones? Would he have followed me? Possibly. I might have been able to better take him on if I wasn't displaced. I definitely need to play it more against the Oxbox, because that's a tough battle. The toughest obviously is the Orion. That one in my mind is I've got a 10% chance of winning. I can do it, but I have to be really lucky, and the Orion has to make a mistake or two for me to win. But obviously, in this case, I lost. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.